what the heck they were talking about.
Because they probably put a 5 foot one into the
pipe. Thinking about driving over to Crescent City, but I decided.
Okay, I'm moving to water. I mean, everybody up here gates and what have you in the summertime, but there's no charge.
I thought about meters.
Electric goes underground, planter telephone underground.
Hello.
And they have high speed.
Hello.
Computer service there because there's a amplifier.
Didn't think I was going to.
Me neither. I was in jury duty, but they didn't like me.
That's good.
There's the road is
good
the road
jury duty.
Road is straight, but it's only a few bucks a year, which is near
why they didn't like me.
That's maintained. So we saw how good the road is.
Well, they asked everybody the same questions, and then they asked some other people individual questions. They didn't ask me any individual questions, and they just dumped me.
Think that they're. Right. Now, one of the things I mentioned, right? So just above us is a blue house that used to be for sale around here for a while, and then somebody else had it for a while.
First it was flying around.
And the banks would not
unbelievable
handle the contract
unbelievable.
Because it said it was
approved.
State of Oregon.
But when he came down and he went
water
yeah,
three quarters of the runway.
Correct. Now, in regards to Jeff, if you decide to go through on something.
I don't know.
I was talking last night. He's inundated because there's all these taxes and what have you for some small corporations, what have you. Money's all everywhere. However,
I don't know.
If you, somebody gives you go ahead and hold the paper on it, you wouldn't have to pay a high tax.
He said that.
And number two is banks require flood insurance that puts us in court where you're standing at desk. Therefore, if he held a contract on that, they wouldn't have to pay insurance. And number two is whatever you financially
want.
Okay.
Well, it was really, I'm glad you showed up down there. It was kind of nice. That was nice chatting with you. And that gal that was
something
with you,
like
that worked with you, what have you, seems like a delight also.
Oh, she is. Yeah. She is.
And the two people you had. They might have those two neighbors as neighbors, yeah. They didn't flinch at the window.
So
I thought that was interesting.
No, we were.
I didn't call you this morning.
They were covering what happened. They had a fact saying that kind of a battle.
Well, last week I was
trying to figure out what's going to be your place at home.
That's what you got to do. Well, they can't take a look at this.
You know,
the outside is rocky. It can reflect
all the other ones.
That's what I said.
Over the roof, you know, right there. It doesn't.
Get the one out and add the key. Why did
Doug
fit
that
license?
Has the key to it. And Jeff says, well, James, the other go ask the liquors and take a look at it. I would imagine. I'm speaking out of turn here. I think that's what
we're hoping
that's an ideal place down there. It's really quiet. It's just like we're down. Yeah, who's a fisherman, what have you, that's just because you can stand on the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Stand on the bank, sure.
No.
But you got money.
So you take 12 hours and subtract 12 from that, you've got the PM time.
I thought you said it was there. Another
This is the seaport screen.
I have one thing.
Right.
Just copy that.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
I just thought I'd ask. I'll forward you the emails that I've received so far.
Okay, so a couple minutes after 12, I see somebody took the clock down to reprogram it and didn't put it back up there, so I called a meeting to order of the airport committee meeting on today's date, March 15th. Do I hear approval of the minutes for January 25th that were emailed out to you and also copy given you today?
I'll move to approve minutes.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
I've been moving the second approval of the minutes for January 25th. The AIP project status.
It is going well. As we've talked about before, we've had a few built-in delays here and there due to just waiting for equipment, but it's going well. The beacon is up and working. It looks really good. It's nice and bright. Everybody can see it from a long ways away. We've even had a few complaints from local people that go, what the heck is that light shining around? So, most of the sign faces are replaced. There's a few near the runways that haven't been replaced yet because we have to do those under a runway closure, so they'll be done at night when we close basically both runways and replace those sign faces that are right up next to the runways.
But the sign faces were not part of the AIP project.
Yes, they are.
I thought they were part of the FAA maintenance program that we had to complete.
They were a part of the last inspection as
right.
a problem.
Right.
But they are being replaced under the AIP project.
Okay.
And they are being funded through the AIP.
Okay.
And they're like I said, mostly replaced. They look great. You know, if you guys want to go out and see them, they're amazing how great they look, especially when you compare them to the old ones. The regulator has finally come in for the sign system. Part of the problem, part of the issue was the regulator on those signs was an old regulator that years ago when they replaced the sign, they didn't replace the regulator. This was literally probably pushing 18 to 20 years ago. They replaced the signs but didn't replace the regulator, so it was an old, outdated regulator. So that's being replaced.
What's it regulate?
It controls the amount of power that's sent out to the signs, and it allows the signs. One of the things that's supposed to happen all the time, and it was mostly happening because the regulator couldn't up power the lights. But when you cycle the lighting, the runway lights, the taxiway lights and the sign lights aren't supposed to cycle. So the runway lights go up and step up. The taxiway and runway lights are supposed to stay consistent. They're also supposed to stay consistent via daylight or nighttime. So the signs under bad weather conditions during the day should be lit, but they're going to be brighter than they are at night. At night they should be dimmer because you don't want to blind pilots as they're driving down the taxiway. Basically what was happening is that regulator would only get them up to the level they were supposed to be at night anyway, and they weren't getting up to the level they were supposed to be during the day. There were several other problems, and all of that's being fixed with the new regulator and fixing some of the wiring and stuff. That regulator finally did come in, and that'll need to be hooked up. So everything's going well. The project should be to completion fairly soon now.
So the regulator works off of a photocell, huh? By the intensity of the
light. There's photocells in there that help it tell whether it's daytime or nighttime. Yeah.
So
it's but the AFP project is going very well.
Question mark?
Yeah, question. So I understand that in order to maintain our currency, we had to have a maintenance list that was provided from the FAA of things that had to be fixed. It was kind of like a negotiated maintenance contract.
No, that's not really the right way of looking at it. The right way of looking at it is any airport, whether it's certified or not certified, has certain obligations to the FAA. Those obligations fall under both regulatory certifications and grant agreement certifications. So we kind of fall under both of those.
Right.
The grant agreements and the Part 139 certifications overlap in a lot of areas, but you also have some additional things with 139. With 139, you also have more regular inspections. On the last inspection, he found a list of things he wasn't happy with.
Do we have a list?
I don't have it with me today. I have provided that list numerous times, and I can provide it again.
I have never seen a list.
It's been presented at city council meetings. It's been presented to this committee a couple of times.
How many months was that?
I haven't.
Oh, this was last.
4 months, 5 months. Oh,
well, this no. This was last. September. So it was last September. I want to say it was in September. Yeah.
Well, I'd like.
And what we've been doing is we've been working on repairing all of those things. Most of those things are things that have just been building up over years and years and years. The sign faces are one of them. Should have been replaced years ago, and they weren't. It's one of those. And we've been fixing them. Some of the marking issues that were out there, some of the taxiway, especially the enhanced centerline taxiway marks, weren't marked properly.
Right.
And we got a guy out there, he fixed those. There's just a lot of little things that were out there. A lot of the training records that were missing were in there, and we put training programs together and gotten those back into a proper cycle. Those are the type of things. It's not a maintenance contract that is negotiated with the FAA. Let's see, the best way to probably say this is the FAA doesn't care how, when, what, why we do our maintenance. They just care that when they show up to inspect, everything is like it's supposed to be.
Okay. I would like to see a list.
I probably have it in here. Would you bring one?
I'm sorry I missed that.
What I'll do, Mark, is I'll find in my email the last thing that was sent out to everybody and that we brought to the city council meeting, and I'll just forward that on to you.
Okay, thank you.
And you had several reports about your progress on that.
I know, and I'm going to try to send you everything, but like I said, like Mark just said, it's been reported several times, so I hopefully will send you all the reports and send you everything, but okay. If I skip something, it's just because it got lost in all the emails that are running back and forth.
I don't remember the list. So when is the AIP project paperwork due for 2011?
You mean when do I apply for the next AIP project?
Yeah.
We're in the process of doing that right now.
And the due date on that is when?
The FAA really doesn't have a due date where they say, let me rephrase, they do, but that due date is variable depending on the funding cycle and what's happening. Right now the FAA is on hold on everything because Congress can't figure out the national budget, and there is actually no budgeting for the FAA right now at this point. They're just on a temporary continuing resolution cycles.
But the grant paperwork is still
in the process. Yes, it's in the process.
Yeah, I'd hate to. I don't want to miss that. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions in regards to the AIP? Okay. Next. Marketing.
Fly MP marketing. Well, we're continuing with our marketing program. We're also, Mark's really working on this, is the voucher program to sell vouchers. Well, actually, we're not selling vouchers. C-Court is selling vouchers. We're just kind of adding it to our marketing program, our Fly OMP marketing program, to make sure that people know they are available. It gives people a really good deal and a discount on airline tickets, especially if they're the type that want to travel, you know, last minute. They don't always plan 3 or 4 weeks in advance. We're continuing with radio ads, newspaper ads, talking as often as possible. I'm personally getting a lot of feedback from people that are becoming more aware of it. More people saying they plan on flying than I've talked to in the past. So my feel is it's at least getting good support generated. I think we still have the issue of people, you know, when they get down to buying a ticket for the airline, having that, you know, that difficulty between the convenience and the expense, because it is a matter of, you fly out of here for convenience. It's not nearly as much as because you're saving money, and so we're still having people fight with that issue.
Who's paying for all this print material?
Print material came from the Connect Oregon 3 grant marketing monies that were set aside for us to have a Fly MP campaign. Does that make sense?
And they're not.
Astoria got the same amount.
And they're non-refundable.
No, it doesn't say.
No, literally the last sentence down there, second last.
Only with a
vouchers are fully refundable should Seaport no longer provide service to Newport for any reason prior to September 1,
right,
11.
Okay.
So basically they're saying if you're buying the vouchers, they'd like to see you use them up by the end of the summer, September 1.
And should they continue to have a voucher program after September 1st? If you haven't used up your vouchers, then they'll give you credit minus $15 per voucher.
There is a responsibility on anybody who purchases the tickets. If Seaport is still doing business, there is a responsibility on that person to use them. They're not fully refundable forever. If Seaport goes out of business or stops flying here, they will be fully refundable. By the expiration date, you need to have either used them or worked with Seaport to trade them in for the next set of vouchers.
But the key word in there is transferable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have vouchers and you think you're not going to use them, or if you want to buy vouchers and then split them up between four people or 10 people or whatever you want to do, They're fully transferable, so it's just a matter of an electronic ticket. And they are selling vouchers. They have been selling them. People have already purchased them. So it seems to be a process
on the web,
that
on
some
the
people
website.
Are interested in.
It is on the website.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other question?
The other part of that is I'm continuing to work with local lodging folks, just to let you know. And if you have anybody that you know has a lodging establishment that we're doing a trade, Seaport's doing a trade with lodging folks. So if they provide five room nights equals one round trip ticket. And so right now, because they're flying both the Caravan and the Pilatus for the next couple of weeks, or depends on which day it is, how many pilots they have to overnight. Mm-hmm. So, but in about a month, they're going to be flying only the Pilatus, and they're going to need
only the Pilatus or the 208. They're going to fly only the 208 in a month.
They're going to fly their regular aircraft.
Yeah. The Pilatus.
The Pilatus.
They're going to stick with the PC-12.
Yeah, they're sending the Caravan up to Alaska to cover their flights up there, and they're sticking with.
It's because they have enough time on a Pilatus that's not being used that they can get it down here and back and still use it for their other regular flights. If they were to continue with the Caravan, it would only be flying to Newport and back.
Right.
And
okay.
It would be sitting the
rest
of
time. Yeah.
So, that's why they're doing it that way. They can charge the time to.
Well, if I interpret this new schedule here too, they're actually going to leave the airplane on the ground here overnight.
They're overnighting, so that's what the lodging thing is about.
In order to
provide some community support to them to continue the flights, we're working on this trade system.
Right.
So, overnighting the pilots will, by the different lodging establishments, will get them some free tickets, round trip tickets. So basically, once they get to the point where they have two pilots every night, whatever lodging establishment houses them from Sunday to Thursday, because you see they're going back with the plane on Friday night.
Right.
From Sunday to Thursday, then that lodging establishment will get two round trip tickets each week. And they've even gone a little bit farther to say that the voucher or the credit that they receive with Seaport could be used to extend to a different leg of Seaport service. So in other words, if you were
in
to have
Seattle
two round trip tickets and you were going by yourself, or if you did 2 weeks, you'd have four round trip tickets, you might be able to get all the way to Seattle and back from the port for free.
Okay.
With the trade. So the lodging establishment, the lodging folks haven't received this trade information until late last week. But this week's sale in down on the Bayfront is providing lodging. The next couple of weeks I'm still looking for. The first couple of weeks in April are covered. And it's from small inns to the first couple of weeks in April is a vacation rental that's in Pacific Shores. What's the place right across from the airport?
Yeah.
Pacific Shores. That there's a gal in there from Colorado who called me she's interested in using the tickets herself when she comes out here. She has a vacation rental that's two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and so that's going to be the housing for the first 2 weeks in April.
Wow.
So there's some really great opportunities for folks of all different kinds of lodging. So that's the way it's going to work. And the pilots get in at 9 o'clock at night. They arrive at the lodging and they're out at 4:30 in the morning. So it's just they're really only there long enough to sleep. So anyway, we'll see how that continues to work. It's 52 weeks to fill in, so we'll see how much the lodging folks step up to it and how they can creatively use those vouchers. They're transferable as well, so they can use them for guest incentives, they can use them for employee incentives, they can use them for themselves, they can use them for give them back to the Chamber of Commerce, which could use them for marketing packages. So
Craigslist.
Yeah.
So. Any other discussion? Go ahead.
All right. I have had some network problems out at the airport, so I didn't get everything printed that I would have wanted to print off for you. But a couple of issues. We've had some problems with the AWOS. The issue with the AWOS is that the commercial power out to it is broken somewhere. We've got E2 Electric trying to find out exactly where it's broken at. We've got plenty of power at the transformer that feeds it, but you get out to the AWAS and there's only like 3 volts, and so it's not, you know, there's a loss somewhere. We assume that somewhere in between the transformer and the AWAS there's a line splice or something that is corroded out and all the power is going to the ground instead of going out to the AWAS. We've got it running off of a generator right now, which as long as the generator stays operating, it's working just fine. We have had a couple of times where the generator's just stopped and one of us have had to go out there and get it up and going again. But other than that, it's working. There's no actual physical problem with the AWAS. It's with the power feeding the AWAS, and we're again trying to find that out. I think that'll probably be one of those things that's, as soon as they find it, is, you know, fixed that quick. But right. It's just a matter of having to find it, because it's all underground, and it's what, 3,000 feet of cable. They've got to figure out where the break is.
You told me yesterday the transformer's right by the terminal.
Transformer's right by the terminal, and the AWAS is out in the center of the field. So
is it the closer power source?
Not that's going to be usable for that. You know, that you could pull it off a sign or a light, but again, you have the problems with how the signs and the lights fluctuate, and they're not always on, and so.
Is it time fixed?
Time is fixed. Yeah, we got a hold of Vasila, the technicians, and they were able to log on and fix it. Not sure why it was messed up, but they were able to fix the time without a problem. Let's see, I've already reported on the AIP program and the marketing program. Seaport's doing very well as far as this transition. So far, the flights have had quite a good number of people on them. This morning, there were 7 people on it. I think we were having to work with him getting in this afternoon, but he said he had a full airplane this afternoon as well. This afternoon, the issue was the FAA scheduled the ILS out of service. And typically when they schedule the ILS out of service for a maintenance program or a maintenance issue, it's something they do in advance, and then depending on the weather, whether they actually do it or not. Well, the problem today was they scheduled the ILS to be out of service, the weather's bad, they canceled the maintenance, but they forgot to cancel the NOTAM. And so it took me an hour calling all the different people in the FAA. I can't cancel a NOTAM I didn't issue, so right. I had to call around the FAA for an hour trying to find the person who could actually cancel the NOTAM. So
they had a full plane coming in right now?
They told me it was a full plane, yeah. Now that's the pilot going, yeah, we got a full plane of people wanting to get in, what can you do about this NOTAM? So okay. Whether it's actually 9 people or, you know, his definition of full is different than mine, but... So they are doing good at this point. Hopefully they'll continue. We're doing our best to cut their costs and to keep them, you know, as lean. That's a good word. As lean as possible. We're doing everything we can. The rest is up to them.
Yeah, city doesn't own the business. No. You know. Yeah. I have a couple questions about the AWAS. Gene, who is certified to work on that system?
We have a maintenance contract with Vasila, manufacturer of the system. They have about 6, I can't remember exactly how it is, I think it's 6 technicians who are on the list with the FAA as the technicians for this system. What we do is we call them up when there's a problem. If it's a problem that can be fixed remotely, they fix it remotely. If it's a problem that needs a technician, they will send a technician out to the airport. If it's a problem that they can supervise one of my guys to go out and say, okay, what's this reading? Okay, thank you. Push this button. All right, push that button. Okay, is everything working now? Okay, it works. And that's something that can happen.
And all that's going into the maintenance log?
Yes. I know there's been some issues that are going around with Dennis Reno being called on issues with that. We're doing our best to get his name off of the list of people to call, but just because he's getting called doesn't mean the rest of us aren't knowing about it. We do know when there's a problem. There's just, these guys have a list of people they call, they go down the list, and his name's on there. Unfortunately, there's like 400, I'm exaggerating. There's a bunch of those lists out there, and trying to get, you know, get all of them current is not always, again, it's another one of those things that's out of my control. I just have to call people in the FAA, National Weather Service, all that, and get them notified.
Okay, anything else?
No, that's unless there's any questions. I was going to say last month our fuel cells, and I did want to report, there was that, that's right, that was the other thing. So Jet A last month we did 5,268 gallons, Avgas we did 746 gallons. As you know, fuel prices are going through the roof, so our Avgas and Jet A are both going up. One of the things we've done for anybody who wants to use it, it's not just for local pilots or local tenants, is we've got a smart card system now for the self-serve. Anybody who wants to come out and get one of these smart card systems for us and put a minimum of $200 on it, we'll give them a 10% discount at the self-serve tank, which puts them kind of about the price you can get it at. I think the cheapest places in the state are Lebanon and Independence, and it puts it close to the same price. Not as cheap, but when you can factor you don't have to fly over there, it puts it, you know, within the range of being as inexpensive as flying over there.
Scampoos has usually got a pretty good price up there too.
But that's only on the self-serve. Self-serve is already, you know, less expensive than full service. And then if you buy this, if you buy into this card, this smart card system, you'll get an additional 10% off. So we're hoping that'll keep the burden of fuel costs down for our regular customers and also encourage more people to buy from us.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the
about the smart card? That's a good idea.
How do they get a smart card? Just by a computer?
You got to come in and buy it at the office. We have a stack of them. We bought the reason why we're making you buy into it is because it cost us about $1,000 to get this system in place. I'm not charging nearly what it would cost me to recuperate the cost, but I'm hoping if I don't charge too much for them, I can get more people who will fly regularly in here to want to buy them. Going to charge $10 for the smart card, and then put a minimum of $200 on it.
And then can you
reload it? Yeah, you reload it. And as long as you don't lose it.
So $10 fee is a one-time
charge. It's a one-time thing as long as you don't lose it. If you lose it, you have to pay for it again.
If you lose it,
let me know right away, and we can go into the system and take the value off.
Get the value back out of it. Yeah, they can cancel that.
Right.
Number.
Yeah, so if you do...
It can't go to any airport, though.
So no, it'd only work here at this airport, so...
Okay, Mark, any questions or comments?
Yes. I was told that if something happens with one of our employees, that we have nobody to fuel planes. So you have not been certified to fuel planes, is that correct?
I have not completed the process of fueling airplanes yet.
And what's the reason for that? I mean, I think that if I don't have any bread and I got to be called in to bake bread and I'm in Mexico, I'm going to shut my business down. I want to know... How come you're not certified to fuel planes?
Been busy with other things.
I see. And that wasn't... I think that's important, to have an airport manager that can run the entire operation, especially seeing fuel's all we've got at the airport that makes money. I would highly encourage you to get certified to fuel airplanes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's been noted. Okay.
In case there's an emergency or...
Well, that was good, yeah. We're done with that one. Question, I guess, with the committee or something too. But the first one you alluded to, the applying for new AIP. What is on your radar to try to obtain next go around?
On this next go around, what we're working on is trying to get the signed bases replaced. Get a new emergency generator. The generator that we do have is not sufficient and not reliable. It's a very, very old generator. So we're going to try to get a new emergency generator, replace the signed bases that we just replaced all the faces for. So we basically have been doing this in two steps. We kind of did it backwards than what you would normally do it because of the FAA wanting the signed faces replaced right away. When we replace those, they'll be with... hopefully, if we can get the FAA to approve it, low-energy LED lights instead of the higher wattage incandescent lights.
The base actually includes the
Everything, yeah. Everything from the foundation, you wouldn't replace the foundations, but everything up. The case, the lighting, everything would be replaced. So we're working on that, and the generator, and then there's a few other miscellaneous enhancements in there that we'll just try to tack in to make sure everything's done. One of the other issues that was on the FAA inspection was that approach to runway 2 is not marked properly, so part of that will be getting out there and grinding off everything and remarking it. I guess the thing is, it was marked properly 20 years plus ago when it was marked, but it's not up to standard now. Typically, what you would say to the FAA is, it was marked properly when you approved it, you know, we're not going to change it, but they're insisting we change it, and as long as they're going to pay for it being changed, we'll go ahead and, you know, comply.
Was a lead-in that I think you've told the group here, you know, we need sewer and water out there, or at least can we stub lines to where it can come from? I don't know if that's an AIP.
Not on AIP stuff. That's not AIP eligible.
Just roads and...
Roads are even very scarcely eligible. It depends on what the roads are for. They have to be directly related to
airport operations.
Even more than airport aviation operations. So, like, a maintenance road wouldn't be AIP eligible unless it was a maintenance road to go to something that's aviation related, like to get to the ILS, and then they would pay for it. But if it's just to... You know, if it's real complicated on what they consider eligible and stuff. So some roadways would be, the things like sewer, water, and stuff like that would not be.
There's also, I did a little bit of research, and there's also airport development aid project grants.
Airport development aid projects are what was the AIP program before it, in the 1970s and around there. Before that, it was FAAP, Federal Airport something project, and then it turned into the Airport Development and Aid Project, ADAPT, or something right. like that. And then it turned into, I forgot, it had another name, and then it became AIP, Airport Improvement Project. So there really is no grant anymore that's an ADAP. It's what is now AIP.
How about the converted containment for tanks? Sooner or later, you want to get a bigger tank farm, I think, mm-hmm. bigger loads. And then you have to have a containment area, is that?
That would not be AIP eligible either.
And really, does any of the grant money include anything, for example, for emergency plan management or emergencies like
not under AIP. Again, now you could, there is, I mean, we can. And I'm always keeping my eyes open and my ears open for anything. There may be grants out there through FEMA and stuff like that, but aviation-related FAA grants, AIP grants, that type of thing is not eligible.
So have we researched FEMA grants?
Is somebody looking into FEMA grants?
Nothing available.
Okay.
That's really been shut down.
Yeah.
Just exactly the same thing you're talking about with FAA, FEMA right now.
No federal budgets anymore.
Yeah. So. I'm by no means able to keep my eye on every single grant opportunity that's out there, but I'm watching them as closely as possible, looking out for them as much as possible. When something comes up, we try to apply for it. One of the things, you know, if you want to get involved with it, one of the things you can do is. Work on the state to continue the Connect Oregon program for a fourth year. There are things that, especially infrastructure things, that we could gear towards a Connect Oregon 4 program. But, you know, right now the legislature just needs to even pass a Connect Oregon 4 program. The other thing that we are concerned about as airports as a whole in the state of Oregon is ODOT is considering taking the rural airport matching funds out of the Connect Oregon program. And we don't want them to do that because that hurts our ability to get the matching funds. So.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Okay, Richard, anything?
I still have my pet peeve, there's no sign out front for the airport.
Still working on it.
Again, there's funding, no grant for that because that's
funding's the issue. Right? Yeah, funding's the issue. There's I'm kind of gonna try to see if I can work if I can. Yeah.
I need a monument sign out front still.
I'm trying to work and see if I can work some of this marketing money into it. But I want to be careful with how I spend that marketing money for right now.
Do you have an idea what a sign would look like yet?
I sent him a...
Well, yeah.
There's other airports that have really nice signs, and all we have is that little green sign that the ODOT puts on the side of the road with the airplane on it.
One of the things I'm going to try to do...
It says airport.
One of the things I'm going to try to do, and it would be kind of a stopgap before we do a monument sign, but that's try where Seaport has their sign out there right now, try to get an airport sign above that and get it lit so it can be seen at night.
Yeah.
But that would be a stopgap.
That's our daytime this summer. Yeah.
That's why those posts are so tall, because that was kind of the original plan.
Yeah, and that would be a stopgap towards getting a monument sign, but you're right, a monument sign would look better and be better, but that's a fairly expensive undertaking.
About 10 grand.
For a small one, yeah.
I sent you an email was 10 grand. Mm-hmm. That was for the whole LED lights.
It seems like we have, I don't know where the money is, but we have wayfinding money too.
I'm not sure about that.
The sign that was kind of put together to go above the Seaport sign was a wayfinding style sign, yeah.
It is a good idea to have.
I'll check with the wayfinding people. Maybe they have one. Yeah.
Well, like Richard, one of my pet peeves is just a lack of development out there because we don't have water. But I do. I understand that you have been in contact with NOAA about possibly bringing their aviation fleet up to ONP.
NOAA has done some inquiries into it. They're not really at a state where they want to talk about it yet, but they have done some inquiries as the possibility of it. And we're able to answer all their questions. We're able to provide for them, the core of what they need. They still have the issue of, a building big enough and all that. There is the possibility of using the hangar there at the FBO as well for them, but I'm not even sure if that's big enough for them. But.
Probably not. What is the size of their fleet? What's
they have two otters.
Yeah.
What's that?
Two De Havilland otters.
Yeah, they also, I don't know what they would want to bring in station here. I know I've seen NOAA fly Lears before, the Lear 35s. They've got a small fleet, but it varies in what they have.
Can you find out what size hangar they're going to need?
I'll work on that, yeah. The other issue that I have that probably is a little premature to talk about, but I can mention it, is the Tillamook Air Museum is looking to moving, and they're very interested in moving.
That'd be terrible if we could get them down here.
Well, good for us, but bad for them.
But before we go into that, I want to talk about this NOAA thing for a second. Have you been in contact with the people down at NOAA, Jason Mansour?
I do not believe I've talked to Jason Mansour. No.
How about Lieutenant Commander Brad Switzler?
I don't remember all the names of everyone I've talked to, but I don't recognize that name.
Well, when I found out about this, I took it upon myself to call him. And he says, man, I'm glad somebody from Newport Airport contacted me because we're very serious about researching the possibility of bringing a fleet. As a matter of fact, he's passed the paperwork up to his chain of command. So if we have an opportunity to get NOAA in here, Gene, this should be the top priority, I would think. I have his phone number here if you'd like to make contact with him again.
Yeah, give it to me. It might be the same number I have.
And interestingly enough, I spent about a half an hour on the phone with Lieutenant Commander Brad Switzler, and I said, hey, can we come down and get you, bring your family up here? He says, you know what? I was born in Eugene. We used to come to the coast as a kid. He says, I'm in love with this airport. He's recently taken over from Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Jason the project manager?
He was project manager.
Yeah, he doesn't really work for NOAA.
Yeah, he's an outside contractor.
But now, he's an outside contractor, but now he's handed that file off to Lieutenant Commander Brad Switzler.
Okay.
Who is absolutely thrilled.
Young guy, too.
He kind of written us off. He's a young guy. He was thrilled that somebody, because he kind of written off the Newport Airport, so.
What's his number?
It's 831-647-4260. And he says that we have pretty much everything that we need.
Right, and that's probably the same person we talked to. We will continue to follow through with it. I can't go make them move here. I can answer their questions. I can help them as much as possible. We can do whatever.
Well, we can certainly sweeten the pot a bit.
I think it's important if you have contacts like that, let these guys know, let the council know, because it's tough for you to make all those things happen. You've got a manager behind here. But at least you let me know,
A sub note to that is that the NOAA's use of Seaport has been minimal at best. And so one of the things that I have a huge long list of people all the way up to Mary Gerlach, who's the undersecretary in charge of all the NOAA stuff, and I've met her. So I will mention the whole process of getting, see if we can service NOAA aircraft at the airport too, but I'm working on getting them to utilize the air service.
As a matter of fact, that's
at the same time.
That's a separate issue from getting their 2 hours up here, because the first thing that they asked me was, you have a certified turbine mechanic? I said, absolutely. He said, on the field? I said, absolutely. I said, if we can get him to, to work on the field.
Yeah.
So we have everything in place for these guys to come here. And all I'm saying, bring before the committee, that he was very, very thrilled that somebody from the airport called this guy and pursued this. And he says, of course, I'm glad you guys called. We kind of written it off. So you can't force him to move, but you can certainly say, what can we do to get you up here again?
And
we want you here.
We've delivered that message.
It didn't sound like it. Well, it didn't sound like it to him, because he hasn't talked to anybody from the City Airport Committee or the city staff. I called him February 11th, and this kind of stuff, we just can't, we can't let go by the wayside here. We can't forget about him. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Do you want to report back to us next meeting in regards to this?
I will.
Because I see some things happening here. If NOAA comes aboard, then that means that the Guard is interested, which means now your fuel depot. It means additional hangars and what have you.
Well, if we sold 5,000 gallons in February, you said 5,200.
Now we're getting close to get on the government program.
Yeah. We're really close.
The GSAA group.
So there's some good things happening.
If you get NOAA here, that's just more likely to get even closer.
And gives a good reason and justification to pursue sewer and water.
Again, on the flip, then that's worth another 10,000 gallons.
Anyway.
Kurt, any comments?
No.
Jim, anything?
No. Any more from these two?
I can just give you a little bit of update on the Winningstead, CN Winningstead Way Memorial. It went before the planning commission last night, and they tie voted without the seventh person there. So there's no recommendation coming. So if you know somebody on the planning commission, talk to them about it. Why did they vote no or yes? Ask them what, how they voted, why they voted that way. But they wouldn't even send the recommendation to the city council at this point. So.
Interesting.
And I know it came from you guys unanimously. They had lots of letters in support. Nobody spoke against it. So if you know somebody on the planning commission, talk to them and ask them how they voted and why. So they have another vote coming up 2 weeks from now. Unless, as far as I know, the seventh person never showed up.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was just a memorial. It wasn't actually to change the...
Change the name. There were the only thing is maybe a little bit of cost of a new sign. Nobody's going to have to change your address, station area, or anything like that. It's a very, very, very simple thing. Mm. Going northbound on 84th. The question came up about the money that came from the sister city. The money from the sister city was not given to the city. It was given to the Winningstead family. And the Winningstead family has chosen to use that to support the rejuvenation of the sister city park. So that money is not in the city coffers. So the money for changing the signs would have to come from the city budget in some fashion, but the council would deal with that. So the people that voted against it, the tall gentleman with the really short hair, I can't remember his name.
Rod Croteau.
And Mark Fisher and Melanie Sarazen voted against it.
What about John Rapis?
John voted in favor. Mike Patrick voted in favor, and
Jim Patrick.
Jim Patrick.
Jim Patrick, I mean.
Did they mention why they voted against it? Or they didn't even talk
about it? Melanie didn't really give any reason. Mark just didn't think that Norm was rose to the level of to be honored out there. And I'm trying to think who the other third person would be that would voted for it. Who else is up there on the planning commission? Anyway. It was a tie vote. It was tabled until next time. So if it's important enough to you,
right.
As the airport committee, you did pass it unanimously. Do a little lobbying. That's all I'm saying.
A couple of things.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
In the Seaport contract, it talks about them not bringing in any planes with more than 9 seats in the contract, right?
Right.
Does that have anything to do with our Part 139 certificate?
Yes, it also has to do with their certificate as well.
Okay, so can you tell me the status of Newport Airport's Part 139 certification?
We have a 139 certification.
And it's good to go.
It's fine. There's no errors with it. It allows us to operate... as far as commercial aircraft goes, it allows us to operate large unchartered or large unscheduled commercial aircraft. We would have to change it and get a different type of certification if we were going to try to get
121 service.
A 121 service, yes. Yeah. And that's there's nothing different about it. That's the same certification you've had as long as you've had a certification.
Right.
Seaport actually doesn't fall under that certification. They're 135. Mm-hmm. And because they don't operate more than 9 seats, they can operate into an airport, whether it's 139 or not.
Right. So we could get jets in with more than 9 passengers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, they could only be unscheduled, and they would have to have prior arranged. Unscheduled, not meaning they wouldn't schedule it with us. They would schedule it with us. But unscheduled, as it's not a regular, you know, mm-hmm. 3 times a week, every day
What's
at the
that?
Same time.
Well,
yeah. I'm asking Gene.
Yeah, okay.
I'm asking Gene what it is.
What do you mean?
Why we couldn't get larger jets in?
Because of the type of certification we have in 139. To do a regularly scheduled 139, we would need a different class of 139 to do a regularly scheduled large aircraft.
Well, then you'd have to get emergency services.
On field,
15 minutes prior. Yeah, okay.
You have to have a parallel taxiway, full length.
No, that's only for lowering the standards. Actually, there's not a lot that is a difference in the Part 139 requirements. There are some differences in the level of staffing that you're required to have, the number of inspections you're required to do, the training that you're required to do. There are some things like that unless you have those needs, there's really no need to go to that expense. Mm-hmm. It's probably, you know, it's not something that would ever hinder us from getting a regularly scheduled large aircraft. But it's something that we would have to work with the FAA on upgrading that certificate before an airline with, say, a 19-seat passenger aircraft started coming in.
How long would it take to do that?
It really depends. The FAA would have to go through a process of looking at our changes, looking at the changes to the certification manual that would have to be in place, looking at how we plan on executing those changes. They would probably fairly quickly issue it to us on they don't call it probationary, but in essence a probationary period. And they would probably give us inspections, you know, like every 3 months and that type of stuff. And then it would, you know, kind of smooth out. It wouldn't take a tremendous amount of time. I would say probably 3 months or so for the process.
So it wouldn't be a barrier if somebody thought they might want to fly a bigger aircraft in here regularly.
It wouldn't be a barrier, but it would require some coordination.
Take some time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
I would like to request that our meetings be moved to 2:00 in the afternoon.
2:00 in the afternoon.
Unfortunately,
my work schedule
was
you're busy.
Noon.
sure, any comments, any?
By me.
Peggy, any problem with that too?
No.
As long as it's so noted in on the paper and what have you.
This isn't Destination Newport Day, is it, Hannah?
No, this is, they're on Thursday, but
Thursdays,
I mean, we would notice whatever time you tell us.
Is that okay with you, Gene?
It's fine with me.
Okay, can we have a motion in regards to this then, so we can make it official?
I feel very, very selfish, but...
As a committee member, I mean, when people are wondering about whether to be on a committee or not, I just say, you know, you work it out with the committee. If you have, if you really want to be on the committee and you have a conflict with the time that committee meets, then the committee can meet any time.
I appreciate it.
So, yeah, that's the way it should be. We can do that for city council.
Second.
Then we'll move in second to have our meetings at 2 p.m. rather than at noon. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
Okay.
Question.
Before you,
it was a good thing actually. We finally got some good weather came in, and all of our cars went out that we do have. And I'm really appreciative of all the, you know, the police cars we have. All of it. There was a couple things, and some people flew in with the. Actually, it was a chartered flight that grandmother bought. Pilot stayed here, and then the kids went to go somewhere, and it took a half hour longer to get a taxi out to the airport. And they were willing to spend money, they didn't care, but there was no way to get a rental car. If we could get another, all we probably need is just one more car, you know. That
courtesy car.
Yeah, courtesy car, one more car would probably cover most everything for...
All right, I'll look into it. I'll look into it. I'll see if Katie have any more.
Just a comment on that. Of course, it's a council decision, but more than likely, the police department will be asking for two new cruisers, and then they would retire a couple of them. And it's not that they're not usable, but they're not.
They are used
for police purposes, so they probably fit very well.
Brilliant.
So that's good, you know, several months down the road, and but just to
clarify
that is a possibility.
Good, yeah, they worked before. The guys come out there, and they just I know they put on some new armor all around the tires. It looked really, you know, jazz them up a little bit, and they were just fine.
Well, I tell you, as pilots, that courtesy car. Those things, we know who has them and who doesn't, and those courtesy cars are huge to get people in here and down the bayfront to spend money and spend the night and weekend. And that is a wonderful, wonderful service that we could provide.
What do people usually donate to gas to fill it up when they bring it back, or they bring it back?
I don't know what the actual policy is for those.
It's an honor system.
Yeah, it's an honor system.
What's the cost to the city as far as...
Insurance
and maintenance are our cost, and that's the only thing. You know, I mean, adding another car, if we get it from the police department or we get it from somewhere like that, isn't the issue. It's just the ongoing maintenance issue.
The cost of
operating the vehicle.
So, Jane, could we actually have in place, not really a car rental, but a gratuitary? Could we have a policy for those?
I think you're opening the door. I think you're opening the door to a can of worms.
Right? Yeah, I would agree.
If it's a courtesy car, I think you need to keep it in that venue.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I know a number of other cities I've flown into over the years. That's you know, and they're usually these type of vehicles, city worn out, city subsidized type vehicles. But
you just hope that the person's gonna contribute back.
Yeah.
Most of the time, most guys, they don't run out of gas.
I haven't had very many problems.
Most people throw them. They don't. They get thrown.
We've had a couple of small issues, but
it's nice to hand them a little flyer, or whatever. You know, we ask you to return the car in the same condition, fuel levels, things like that you got it in. But and most of them are respectful, I think.
Before we adjourn, we have two visitors here. Any comments from either one of you? Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, mostly. I think all of you guys know me. I'm Chuck Norman. Also known as Chip Norman, ex-Seaport employee. I was making payment here, and I thought I'd stop by and see what this committee's all about.
Okay. And Dave Morgan, newslincolncounty.com.
Okay. Thank you for your
attendance. So Chip was their desk clerk out there, and they're going without desks people. So they have a direct phone line. You call up when you check in.
And then the pilots are going to handle all of the...
And the pilots have everything. You put your luggage on the scale, which is right next to the phone, and you tell the person on the phone how much your luggage weighs.
Oh, really?
So the front desk is going to go back to the city then?
The front desk is just there.
Your comments?
I don't know who's going to use it.
Well, earlier in your discussion, you used a different word, but what Seaport called it is going to bare bones.
Well, if that's what it takes to make it work,
I was there yesterday when four people arrived to take the flight, and that Seaport had already called them and told them the day before that that's what they needed to do when they got there. And so they walked in, went right over the phone, picked up, checked in. The pilot came, did his little thing, asked them how much they weighed. Some people whispered. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't. And off they went.
Okay, any other comments?
He just looks at me and says, "You're riding in the front."
Okay, we're adjourned until 2 p.m. on the third Tuesday.
Thank you.
So 2 p.m., huh?
How are you doing here?
Good. Do you want any more of these to pass around?
Did you get
take whatever you want?
Yeah, that's very good. Never mind.